wagon, Tommy. Let's head on back to the barn after spreading 2 hours of opinion and news. It's a soupy mix, isn't it?
You bet.
Yeah. Say hello to Patrick, Tom, the big old horse sitting next to you. Give him some love.
I miss Patrick.
Here, the wagon keeps moving even though no one is actually pulling it. I like that. All righty, here we go. By the way, you know what we missed yesterday?
Yeah, someone reminded us of that today.
Yeah, this.
You know who we blame?
The new guy.
You bet, the new guy. Don't you know what Thursday is, new guy?
Thursday is.
What's Thursday?
Thursday is today Cocaine Pizza Day.
And then I've never heard of this. Everyone's emailing about it.
Gee whiz. Wow, that hurts. All right, well, listen.
Well, he had one good week.
Yeah.
Our new producer.
A shame. Yeah, and that's normally what knocks a lot of people out on that one.
Yeah,
there's so many unnecessary little bits and pieces of the show. You got to keep track of all of it, or it upsets everybody. Yes. Thursday was Cocaine Pizza
that's
Day.
That's right.
That poor lady never got her pizza with cocaine on it.
Next week, we'll do a double
dose.
We'll
fix it up. Annalise Mike Lewis covering all the news, but helping me buy a new motorcycle. I appreciate it. I purchased it yesterday.
Did you really?
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations.
Got the bobber with
just
all the stuff.
Just in time for the rainy weekend.
Oh, it's not ready yet. They're putting all sorts of adjustments. I got the ape hanger bars, even though you said don't get that. All right, Lewis. So apparently, even though the McCleary decision was, they kept saying you need a fully fund education. But a lot of folks in Olympia were like, okay, well, what's the number? What's the number? What's the magic number? What do we need to get to in order to fully fund education? And apparently,
the Supreme Court has said the state finally got to that magic number, although that magic number still seems to be a little bit of a moving target.
Uh-huh.
At this point, the last allocation of $770 million, roughly, the state Supreme Court answered the state's petition to remove the oversight on the McCleary decision. And now the state, for the first time in a long time, actually is apparently meeting its constitutional obligations to fully fund K through 12 education in Washington State.
Now, will they be brought, you know, to on the carpet each year now to see? Because there's this editorial from the Seattle Times that says, hey, listen, this is a nice milestone, but we need to make sure that we pick up the slack in terms of special education and everything else like that.
Yeah, I mean, it could be. I mean, it's going to take another lawsuit, right? I mean, this one was stemmed from a lawsuit that was decided in 2012. So could another lawsuit happen? Well, certainly it could. But this at least is a point, and I think the state Supreme Court isn't going to jump on any new lawsuit if it feels like it's gotten to a threshold. This has taken a long time, and it's pushed back a whole bunch of times, including that $100,000 a day fine that the state was absorbing while it was not in compliance with the McCleary decision.
So what happened to that? It dissipated?
No, well, I mean, they stopped assessing it, but the money still was available.
You take it out of one pocket and put it in another.
It was about $100 million that ultimately was the state earmarked for damages related to McCleary.
I see. So what's the total amount? I see here it says the budget increased state funding from schools to $22.7 billion, a 25% increase over previous budget.
Yeah, it's a ton of money. And there are still people arguing that it's not sufficient amounts of money, but I think at this point the legislature feels pretty good. Obviously, the teachers' union feels pretty good. The governor feels pretty good about it. So I think that they'd like to move on and discuss other things in education in the state.
And will we start to see grades improve?
Yes, grades are immediately, as part of the McCleary decision, will be skyrocketing in the state of Washington, which I'm really excited about.
Graduation rates, too.
Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely, because dollars equals better education.
Absolutely.
Round, round, get around, all right, Lewis, get around, I'll bring the bike in on Wednesday for you to ride it.
I am looking forward to it.
Yeah, okay.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm pretty excited about it.
So, is it a kind of starter bike, Mike?
I mean, not really a starter bike. It's a Triumph Bobber. It's actually a pretty cool bike. It's a bike I've dug for a long time, although, you know, if I get any more motorcycles, I probably lose a girlfriend. So, but it's a bike I admire. I'm actually pretty excited for him. I think it's a perfect bike for Jeff.
How sexy am I going to be on that thing? Look at that, Tom. Check that out.
Yeah, you're going to be Marlon Brando sexy.
No, it was Steve McQueen from The Great Escape. Right there it is, right there, Mike. That's what I finally got right there. How about that? Huh?
That's a beauty.
There we go. All righty, here we go. Maryland Democrat is a crowded field running for, is this for governor? Yeah. Decides to put a campaign ad together. We got the whole ad or just the funny part at the end?
Oh, just the whole one.
Okay, here we go. This is the Maryland State Senator, Richard S., whatever his name is. He's running for governor, and he's just released a campaign ad. Here we go. You ready? Do I have my computer back by any chance? I do. Okay, here we go. No, that's not my computer. Hang on. That's stupid Mike Lewis's music. How's it going over there, Tom?
Is it Cocaine Thursday today?
It feels like it. Hang on. Here we go. All right, here we are.
I'm Rich Madalino. I'm running for governor to deliver progressive results and to stand up to Donald Trump. Here are a few of the things I've done that already infuriate him. I protected Planned Parenthood from the Republicans in Congress.
Take that, Trump.
I helped ban assault weapons in Maryland.
Take that, NRA.
I believe in public schools, not vouchers.
Take that, Trump.
And Betsy DeVos.
Yeah!
And what's the number one way I piss off Donald Trump and the Republicans?
With that, he turns to his partner, I don't know, / lover, / husband.
Husband, yes.
And they kiss. And in front of them, they've got two, like, black teenagers. They don't identify those two, just two people sitting next to him.
Well, take that, Trump.
Yeah. Well, that got Donald Trump all right.
I think they do have two adopted kids.
Okay, good. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Smart move on their part.
Do you think it's a smart move or not?
Well, in the world,
you're contemptuous of them, but still.
I'm not contemptuous of them.
You're not, okay.
No, I'm contemptuous of
them. I mistook your tone of disapproval. Are you applauding them?
I say this, that it's one technique, and yes. The technique is this. You want to get the thing to get played. So what are the chances we played any other senator running for governor in the state of Maryland or any other state?
Just about zero.
Zero, right. Yeah. So you do something slightly outrageous, like the one woman that was running a thing for attorney general in Minnesota or whatever it was, saying, oh, you know, the reason you should vote for me and I won't sexually assault anyone is because I don't have a penis, right? Mm-hmm. So that thing gets spread around. So somebody has come to this guy, Rich, or whatever his name is. I'm sure he's a nice guy.
Madeline.
And said, hey, I got an idea. We're going to put this ad together and we're going to run against Trump. So we're going to get everybody that hates Trump. You're mm-hmm. going to, and we're going to hit him on Planned Parenthood. Mm-hmm. We'll do NRA because all of these things have been well studied.
And he's done. I mean, he is responsible for the legislation along those lines. So it's not like you're just picking things, you know, liberal causes out of the air.
They're, yeah.
They are responsible for a piece of legislation that he has pushed.
Okay.
But still, yeah. But, I mean, it's clearly a gambit. It's clearly a device and a technique.
Yeah. So if it works because we're talking about it.
Yes.
We'll see whether he gets elected or not.
He's not considered one of the front runners. And they thought that, yeah, this is one of those, as you mentioned, this campaign doesn't have a lot of money. And so if they can do something, it'll catch on virally. And it's already been picked up because it's the first time that we've had anybody running for office kiss, you know, his or her partner on screen.
Is that crazy?
No, it's just the first.
Okay.
The third time this happens, no one's going to talk about it, even on the Tom and Curly Show, as desperate as we sometimes are.
No, never that desperate, Tom. As far as Donald Trump's comments about gay people, he has no problem with gay people. Here's a famous quote from 2011. It's like golf. A lot of people, I don't know, this sounds trivial, but a lot of people are switching to these really long putters. Very unattractive. It's weird. You see these great players with these really long putters because they can't sink the three-footer anymore. And I hate it. I mean, I'm a traditionalist. I mean, I got many fabulous friends who happen to be gay, but I'm a traditionalist. So the president in 2011 at that time was basically saying, listen, I love everybody. I support everybody. I got lots of gay friends. So this kiss that occurs on this thing is not going to bother him one bit. So you didn't really get Donald Trump there. All right? I think that pretty well sums it up.
Wow, you actually went that far for that.
Well, I wanted to. He's like,
good for you, John.
No, Tom, I typed in to the Googleating
yes,
machine.
Okay, yes.
Trump view of Trump, gay.
Believe me.
And
Trump,
quote, and I want to get a quote. That's the only quote I could find.
Trump, at least on the campaign trail, said he was fine with transgender when the transgender issue was, you know, all the rage on the right. He, you know, had a very kind of liberal
right.
New York approach to it. The problem is when you cite Trump from 2011, that's not the Trump in 2018. Now, it might not, in this particular case, he might not say anything differently,
mm-hmm.
but I think those, you know, those golf clubs have been banned now, so it's a little outdated.
Much as Jesus spoke in parables.
Yes, that's right. A golf parable. I like that.
Here we go. There's a startup called Comedy Gold, specifically trying to teach young girls how to be funny, because do girls need to be taught to be funny, that they're not
yes.
funny naturally?
Yes. In fact, they say that it's a societal construct that girls and boys think boys are funny and girls are not funny. Uh-huh. And so there are a lot of these kind of organizations around the country that are trying to foster like stand-up comedy for girls, especially mm-hmm. in those tricky developmental years because they are so self-conscious, and that's when they kind of lose whatever confidence they have.
Yeah.
And they say that the way that the comedy business is set up, they're set up by guys' rules, guys' sense of humor, and so this is an empowering move on their part. It's called Gold Comedy, and they're trying to democratize it so you can get these online courses mm-hmm. to do all this. But I think what's interesting about this approach and what I do think is good about it is they say, first off, when you do comedy, you don't have to fix anything about yourself.
Uh-huh.
If you're, you know, like you can be a fat comedian, a skinny comedian, a tall comedian, a racial minority comedian that you don't have to change anything about yourself. What you do is you make yourself whatever is seen as a weakness in the eyes of traditional society. That can not only be your strength,
yeah.
it can be your material.
Mm-hmm.
And so they say it teaches girls to take whatever about themselves they're embarrassed by and have them embrace it
mm-hmm.
and see the humor in it.
Right.
And that is excellent for your own sort of, you know, sense of self-worth.
Make fun of yourself.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
You make fun of yourself, and they're talking about how nerdy you are, how geeky you are, how this or that, all these kinds of things, it becomes fodder, and people like you for the very faults you thought you were most, sort of embarrassed by becomes endearing.
That is a bit of an abyss that most people don't want to try to cross, Tom, which is you stand up in front of people and point out the obvious,
yeah.
and God, you hope they laugh.
Yes.
Well, you and I went to that comedy bit, right?
Yes, we did.
We went
for
to that.
Drew Barth.
For Drew Barth.
Yes.
And many of the comedians, their first joke is,
yeah
I'm chicks dig me, right? And the first thing they say is they just sort of lay out, because you're looking at them like, well, look at this nerd, right? The guy, and they address it right in the very beginning.
Yes.
And the self-effacing humor then makes you like the person. It
yes.
breaks down the barrier. I don't know if I told you this or not. My sister, who this is complete shock to the entire Curly family, decides she's going to sign up for an improv class. I mean, crazy, because
wow.
she's not, okay. she's funny in her own little weird way.
Yeah.
She's a good writer, but to have her on stage and the final exam was to go to some crappy rundown bar in North Jersey where they have an open mic night. And she said, I was the 30th comic to go.
Oh.
And 29 of them were gross guys telling penis jokes.
Yeah.
And she said, so every joke was either about the guy's penis.
Yeah.
5 minutes. And then Lori gets up and goes, wow, it's hard being the 30th comic up here because I was going to do a whole lot of penis jokes, but they already did all my penis jokes. So that got a laugh, admitting that she's a woman.
Yeah.
And then she goes, yeah, guys want to do me. I mean, because she doesn't look like that kind of person. So then she did the self-effacing, and then she went into her routine. She said it was incredibly freeing. She grew from the entire experience, and it is unbelievably vulnerable. She said, would I ever do that? I said, I'd never do that kind of thing.
Is that right?
Stand up there and do that?
Yeah.
No, it's the worst of the worst, I think.
So the first time I was at a comedy club in New York City, I was having a great time, and it was like 90% guys in the audience, but also on stage. And one woman came up, and it was after midnight, so it was not one of the headliners. But she came up and she did a joke or two and it fell flat. And then the thing that just killed me for her, somebody just shouted out from the back. And I'm not going to say literally what they said, but basically it's like, show us your chest, effect.
Yes.
And oh my God, it was so demeaning. And it hit her. And she wasn't polished enough to kind of, you know, punch
roll
back.
It.
And that is the risk that a stand-up comic takes. And it's like, oh, my God, I know. I admire anybody who's willing to get up on stage and risk that.
Oh, how did what did she do to recover from that?
Well,
no,
she just,
nothing.
I mean, she it's like she physically, you know, took the blow.
Right.
You know, and then kind of and shook it off.
Shook
and
it off, right.
Went on with the routine. The problem is that she didn't get the audience in that first joke or two. And so by that time, they're just reducing her to her anatomy. And
I told Laura about a friend of mine, John Lenihan, in England, who left the United States more than 30 years ago. He's over there as a really well-known comic.
Hmm.
And he used to have a routine that he had two entirely different routines. He said he would stand up at the microphone. You would find this to be interesting. He would stand at the microphone and not say a thing. He said, if I could stand there in absolute silence for 10 seconds and get a laugh, then I knew the audience was intelligent. So then I did all my intelligent jokes. But I'd stand there for 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And if people are like, you suck.
Yeah.
Right.
What the hell?
And he's like, all right,
yeah,
here come a bunch of D jokes. And then he would do 10 minutes of penis jokes.
Yeah.
He said, exactly. So I left it up to the audience. Yeah. It's like, we'll see how smart you are.
Yeah.
Isn't that an interesting
and
test?
And I love that. And I do think, how is that a sign of intelligence? Because you're aware of the medium.
Right.
And the medium is that you go up and you tell us a joke. And when you're breaking the medium, that's funny.
Right. But people get it. Like, well, this is different.
Yeah, exactly. Like Andy Kaufman stuff.
All righty. Let's see. Google has removed something in order to be more inclusive. Google always talks about being inclusive, except if you're conservative. We want to have as many inclusive ideas
as
possible.
Well, they have their limits.
Well, yeah, you can't have an idea that's outside the standard ideas that are accepted. So Google has decided, in order to have inclusion, because they had an emoji, Tom, that was, if you looked at it closely, you could be offended. What was the emoji?
Well, obviously, it was an egg.
No, it was obviously an egg on a salad.
Yeah, what the hell's an egg doing in a salad?
Well, it's nothing wrong with a little bit of protein with your roughage. It was a hard-boiled egg that had been sliced and was sitting just beautifully placed to the left of the emoji, right in the general greens.
Yeah, spoken like a non-vegan.
Okay. You know why people are vegans?
Why are people vegans?
Because they didn't get enough attention as kids. Yeah. That's why they're vegans, okay? Because they got other problems, like halitosis.
So this is not part of the anti-egg movement that I know is sort of burbling under the surface of this discussion, but it's an example of the salad emoji trying to be all-inclusive.
Yes.
And eggs would rule out vegans.
Uh-huh.
Who knew?
So, but the thing is, who was it that brought it to the attention of Google?
I'm not sure, actually. I just thought that I think Google, they're always sort of self-improving.
Uh-huh.
And so I think that, you know, I would guess somebody at Google probably pointed that out to them. I don't know if there's any advocacy group demanding the removal of eggs. When Google announced this, I think they were patting themselves on the back. See, look at how diverse we are. We are even taking these tiny little things into consideration. But mostly they've just been mocked on social media. Said, oh, my God, those dastardly eggs are finally gone. I've been worried about my lunch.
I don't know if they've come here yet, but I think they'll soon be here. Lime scooters and allowing you to take little tiny scooters that are around with their electric, and you could go all over the streets with them. I like the fact that the Silicon Valley people that come up with these things never ask for permission.
That's really right.
Says something about these 20-year-olds that just say, you know what, we'll just dump them on the street. People will love them, and then we'll let the government catch up to technology.
It's so hypocritical, because you love Uber, and that's exactly what Uber and Lyft and all those guys did. They just did it, and then they waited for the regulations.
Right, they flood the zone because they know that they're way ahead of legislation.
That's right. So, but you like them, and now you don't like the scooters?
No. I like the scooters.
Oh,
I like
you do?
I like anything.
Again, I misread your tone.
Here's what has to happen, Tom. You get back and you get a VC, a venture capitalist, who gives you money, right? Because they want to make money, because that's how rich people make money, by investing in businesses and creating jobs. So you say to the person, hey, you give us $1 million, we're going to get all these scooters, we're going to put them on the street, we'll start making money right away.
Yeah.
And then the guy goes, well, hold on a second, what are the rules? Well, we'd have to go to the government, they got to do this and this and this, it's going to take like 6-7 months to sign off. The VC guy goes, forget it, I'm going somewhere else with my money. So I'm like, how about this? Give us the money, we'll make the scooters, we'll put them on the street, and then we'll wait for the legislation to catch up to us, but we'll start generating money right away.
Okay. So the venture capitalist is to blame.
There's no blame.
No, there's lots of blame.
There's no blame.
People hate them.
People love them.
They're banned in San Francisco.
That's
Silicon
an anomaly.
Silicon Valley's
that's
anomaly.
Hold on. Banned them.
Did you read this story?
Yes, I did. They banned them, Tom, but they had them on the streets for a little while, and people were really enjoying them. Yes, they were.
And then they banned them because people were so enjoying them. Let's outlaw them.
A couple of crybabies like, oh, look at the scooters all over the place.
Well, you're nothing if not malleable in your political opinions.
Wait a minute, Tom. Did they put the scooters on the streets?
Yes.
Did they ask for permission?
No.
No. So the government came in and said, hold on, we've got to come up with rules on these things.
That's right, because there were so many citizen complaints about all these scooters.
So many. Please. It's like six people
you
sitting
back
home.
Initiative process. That's all this is. So anyway, there is now. Do we have the sound? We
only
play the
have
sound.
The scooters that are being. That
there's a.
They used to have a warning on them. Sound like this. Okay, we don't have time. We got to go to a break.
Oh, that's too bad. We missed
it. Hey, wait. We got to open the phone line. 1-888-973-5476. 1-888-973-5476. Get on the phone to get on the air to play the know-it-all quiz brought to you by Muckleshoot Bingo. 1-888-973-5476. How many will we take right? How many will we take wrong? What are you going to do, Tom?
Two
right. You'll win. We'll be right back.
Yes. Here we go.
got to go quickly, Tom, because I used too much time with describing Donald Trump's golf putter and gay people. Let's meet our contestant. This week we're going to play the Noto Quiz brought to you by Muckleshoot Bingo. By the way, you can watch us live on Facebook Live. This is where I yell out to a guy named Mike who's in the corner who you can't hear. How many people are listening, Mike?
Three.
Watching, not listening.
Watching and listening. You get the sound, too.
Three.
Let's meet our contestant now. His name is Rich. He's from Issaquah. He's 49 years old. He's about to turn 50. And he lives in Issaquah. Did I mention that?
Where is he from, though?
He's from Issaquah, Tom. And he's a former semi-pro football player.
Wow.
How about
really?
That, huh? Rich, what were you really doing for a living?
I'm a courier for IndyStealth Logistics. And then in the evening, I drive for Uber.
Oh, you do? Okay. Hey. So you were a semi-pro football player. Did you out for any pro teams, Rich, when you were not living in Issaquah?
Well, actually, yeah. But I got scouted by the Kansas City Chiefs, and about a week before I was about to go down to their training camp, I blew out my knee in practice for my team. Oh. Yeah, it was really discouraging. I was heartbroken.
Wow. So is there a local semi-pro football team?
Oh, yeah, they're all over.
Okay, wow.
All over the east side and north and south. It's a big league.
Yeah, wow. Okay, good to know. Well, listen, so now you're a courier, so you drive around, and you have Tom and I on the radio, I assume, while you're driving around, right?
Yes, I do, all the time, every day.
All right, so here comes the question. If you agree with Tom more than you agree with me, Tom will tell you how many you need to get right or wrong. So of the stuff that we spout and spew out here at the Tom and Curly Show, how often do you find yourself going, darn right, Curly?
About 50-50.
All right, that's not what we're looking for.
That's good. That means he's open to persuasion.
All right, how many do you have to get right, Tom?
Well, you split the middle, because if you're a John fan, you only have to get two. If you're a Tom fan, you have to get four.
Yeah.
So if you're 50-50, you have to get three.
Here we go. You ready? Tone and tenor, everything established. We call it a friendship. Okay, hold on, Rich. Here we go. You ready? How many people are watching now? 15. We're 15.
Four.
No, not four, Rich.
Four, because he is.
Here we go. You ready? IHOP made news this week. They're going to unveil what on June 11th?
A, they are changing the P to a B in IHOP, but no one knows what the B stands for.
Mm-hmm.
B, they are merging with Denny's. An IHOP spokesperson said, "We have always wanted to be more racist, and we think this move just makes more sense at the end of the day." Or C, they announced you can now get hash browns that don't smell like cigarette smoke.
Jay.
Correct. At this point, how many does Rich have correct, Tom?
Rich from Issaquah is 1-1.
Number two, star Cairo reporter Hannah Scott inadvertently said something during a live shot that caused some Irish people to get upset. She later apologized on Twitter and the very popular Tom and Curly Show. What did she say that upset some Irish listeners that were sober enough to be offended?
A. Trick question. The Irish don't give a rip about political correctness. B. Paddy wagon. C. Scott repeated her favorite Irish limerick. There once was a man named McSweeney who spilled some gin on his weenie. Just to be cool, he added vermouth.
Ooh, I'm going to say B.
Correct. By the way, I spared Tom the rest of the limerick.
I know.
Did you look it up?
No, I was too scared.
Oh, it's good. It's good. Hey, you have people on Facebook with nothing better to do. Check that one out.
Yeah.
Here we go.
NFW, not for work.
Back to Rich. Three. World-famous Gottman Institute, known for studying relationships and successful marriages, had new advice this year. It's long been said not to go to bed this way. New research says it's okay to go to bed this way and will lead to a happier relationship. What way, Tom?
A. Go to bed angry.
Mm-hmm.
B. Go to bed with cats, at least six, and no more than 40.
Good advice.
C, with another lover in the same bed with your spouse. That's what the research says.
I'd love to say C, but it's A.
Hey, he's already met his match. He's 3-3.
This is spooky. For those of you watching on Facebook, Tell your grandkids where you were. At four, a London subway system is trying to get people to stop doing this so commuters can use the escalators faster. What are authorities trying to get people to stop from doing, Tom?
A, standing to the right to let just a few other commuters pass by. B, walking up the down escalator. George Lighton subway spokesperson said, I know it's fun to do, but it really slows things up.
Yes.
C, laying down on the sharp metal moving staircase. Exhausted Londoners have started doing this as they try to catch short naps on the incredibly long and slow-moving escalator.
Mm-hmm.
It's A.
Yes, here we go. For all the macaroni and cheese in the shape of James Buchanan's head, Tom, this is number five. Ready?
I tell you, Rich is a Tom listener, man. He's four for four.
A weatherman in San Diego had a difficult time on the air when a live shot started out poorly and just went horribly wrong. It wasn't until this happened near the end, according to Tom, that saved the live shot. What is it?
A, he quit live on the air. B, he turned a man eating an ice cream cone and began making out with him. C, a guy named Mr. Wacky showed up.
How's everybody doing? My name is Mr. Wacky.
That's C.
Yes! He's a five for five.
Wow. Rich from Issaquah, who lives in Issaquah.
That's right.
How about that? That's pretty good. Wow, five for five. Here's what's going to happen. You're going to find yourself going to the Mariners game. If I could find that sheet of paper. Hang on, where is it? Oh, there it is. Right here.
Hey,
some
of
the people watching Facebook.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, curly throw all the papers in the air. Here we go. Don't forget, it's brought to you by Muckle Shoe Pingo. Your chance to win two tickets right now. You've got them. They're going to be next Friday. It's the Red Sox coming to town at 7:10. Drive your Uber car over there, drop somebody off, and then enjoy the game. Stick around after the game. They've got fireworks all for you. Everybody from Issaquah gets a chance to enjoy the fireworks. You can find out more by going to mariners.com. All right, you got that?
All right, I'm sitting in the box with you, John.
You're breaking up. I can barely hear you.
Right. We must lost the connection.
By the way, what we'll be doing is we'll be texting you what's happening on the field as you watch from your seats, okay?
Great.
All right. Have fun, my friend. Yeah, thanks for listening to the show. Have a great weekend.
I appreciate it. You too.
All right. Bye-bye. There he goes out the door. All right. Hey.
Where's he from again?
It's Issaquah, Tom.
Issaquah. Okay.
Well, the thing is that the new guy, what's his name?
Yeah.
Jacob.
Jacob.
Who now uses staples. Like, oh, yes. Look at me. Yeah. I'm using staples. That's new. Because nobody's supposed to get two or three interesting facts about the caller.
Yeah.
And it mentioned twice that the guy's from Issaquah. Let's drive that one home. All right. You can write to us at My Northwest. You can text as well at 98973. Still a chance for you to come letter of the day. We'll be right back. How many people now?
30.
They love the papers in the air.
We increased it tenfold, John. Congrats.
Here we go. Doug's Linwood Mazda bringing you the letters. The mailman has them all, and he's in his car, provided by Doug's Linwood Mazda, and he brings them to the station. Now here comes the mailman.
I'm the mailman. As you can see, I'm the mailman. Don't nobody mess with me.
Yeah.
I'm the mailman. If you didn't know, I'm the mailman. I bring the mail to your door.
Hello, teeny tiny lady in the pickle jar. We'll get the letter of the day, but let's get started now, Tom.
We'll start off with the immigration issue, the detention of mothers separated from their children when they are seeking asylum.
Yeah.
Sean in Seattle, this parent-child separation issue is required by federal law.
Mm-hmm.
It is not a Trump policy, as the news so often reports. And yes, these parents know they're being separated from their kids when they choose the asylum route.
Anthony Bourdain, 206, says, rest in peace, Anthony Bourdain. Your show was entertaining and the last reason to turn on CNN.
Dee Dee and Renton say it's not so. Anthony Bourdain is gone. I didn't know him, but it's almost like an old friend has died.
Guys, you can give out the suicide prevention hotline number. Appreciate that after the demise of Bourdain. 1-800-273-8255. Again, if you know somebody needs some help, 1-800-273-8255.
On the lack of sponsorship in the 9 o'clock hour.
Yeah, this guy gets it.
Area code 206. Why in God's name would you spend so much time announcing to the world that you aren't popular enough to have a sponsor?
Yes.
What you do during those 15 seconds is exactly why you don't have listeners.
Exactly. God, I figured it all out. Hey, helicopter parents, 253. Tom, please, don't equate helicopter parenting with wearing a helmet. As a 30-year veteran of an EMS and a number of dead adults and children I've seen from perpetual head injuries, it's horrific.
Absolutely.
Helmets will save your life.
And Marcia, there are also helicopter friends. I am single and I love riding my bicycle on wooded paths. My friends are trying to care for me by warning me of the dangers. Since I can't find anyone willing to go with me, I go on my own anyway. I must say, sometimes the things my friends say creep into my mind while I'm in the woods, and it steals some of the joy.
Yeah, I see that. 360 says, play in the Nokia ringtone. Original Jurassic Park flashback.
Does that set off the dinosaurs? And 206, wow, iPhone ringtone news. Setting the bar real high, boys.
Call for Mr. Jerko. Safe injection sites, 206. Oh, all that tax money. The best idea they could come up with is let people shoot heroin in an RV. Absolutely ridiculous.
It's clean and safe, though, right?
Yes, it is.
425, it's like the bookmobile for smack. The Smackmobile.
253 says, so, my traveling cocktail lounge, my booze RV is cool then, right?
As long as it's state-sponsored. Pardons, 360. POTUS hasn't got a clue. All this time, he hasn't actually known what the NFL kneeling was about. All that tweeting, and he knew nothing, and he still doesn't. He wants to pardon dead men for posterity. Grrr.
Okay. Take it easy. Paul in Tacoma says, I have an epiphany this morning listening to John. You guys spend 3 hours a day spreading news and opinion, a.k.a. manure. Every hour, John dives into the news. So John spends all day diving into a manure pond. No wonder Ursula sits so far from him. Wow, the guy has quite the theory.
And on the Dave Scott, everyone's favorite weatherman, mm-hmm. 253, how small is this market to keep his job? I love this weatherman. It's San Diego. That's yes. Not exactly a small market.
San Diego's weather doesn't change much.
Yes.
So, you know, it doesn't really matter.
How's everybody doing? My name is Mr. Wacky.
That's right. Joey the Garbage Man, fellas. That awkward weatherman segment was hilarious. It really goes to show you that any rambling idiot can be a weatherman. Unrelated question. Curly, where'd you get your start in showbiz? That's right. It was Weatherman.
On your new motorcycle, mm-hmm. John, 425 says, so, you have time to go buy a new motorcycle, but can't get your windshield wipers fixed.
I know. Because you know why? It's not as much fun.
Yeah, that's
it's not as much
right.
fun. Audiobooks. Josh and Graham says, dear Tom and Curly, I agree with John. Audiobooks pale in comparison to the written counterpart. They're often filled with corny sound effects and hokey voice characterizations, just as bad as listening to... to like a crummy radio show.
How's everybody doing? My name is Mr. Wacky.
That's right. All right. Time for letter of the day. You ready?
Yes.
Hold on. I got to find the little lady. Oh, there she is. She's in her pickle jar.
And now it is time for the letter of the day.
Ah, letter of the day, Tom.
And it comes from the well-traveled Andy on the road less traveled. I'm here to offer my help for the unsponsored segment of the big radio show. And let me speak directly to John.
Okay.
John?
Mm-hmm.
John Aru?
Yeah.
Big Bad John?
Yeah, yeah.
I have in my vast fortune the sum of $4.75 that I will send you for the unsponsored segment, which will be known as the segment Less Travel. At least until a more lucrative offer is made.
Uh-huh.
While I don't have any cat urine scented t-shirts to offer, I'm sure my cat will anoint the check itself.
Mm-hmm.
What say you? Sleep on it. That's it, fellas.
Huh, okay.
Is my pizza going to be covered in cocaine today?
Andrew, yes or no?
Sure.
On a Friday? You're telling me we got cocaine left over?
We do. We have lots of cocaine left over.
New producer.
Out of time. Bye-bye.